Good evening, America. Good afternoon, Australia. You're back listening to Tony Lontis live on Radio Tony, and we are in the Everyday Business Show. For those of you that are listening on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube or Twitch, we have the amazing Peo listening live from the Philippines, and he's available to answer all your live comments and make sure that you have all the links to the various portions of this show. Don't forget to jump on radiotony.com and check out my upcoming guests. And just a bit of exciting news. This week we went live with the Tony TV channel live across USA on Binge TV networks. And Tony TV is screening, rescreening lots of these interviews. So if you miss one, just jump on to Binge and jump on to Tony TV and find out about our business shows. We have an amazing guest with us today. I had a really wonderful chat when I first met Luke a little while ago, and I'm so pleased to have him on the show today. But before I introduce him live, I want to tell you a little bit about Luke. Luke Fenwick's career spans 25 years across sales and marketing roles in industries such as luxury goods and professional sports, including organisations such as Louis Vuitton, Moët Hennessy and the Melbourne United Basketball Club. He travelled the world, dined in renowned restaurants, met celebrities and sporting stars, and won a championship in professional sports. He lived a good life, adrenaline pumped, experienced glory. Work was more often a dream filled with incredible moments. When his corporate career was at a point where he was allowing work and his mindset towards it to negatively impact on every aspect of his life, Luke was no longer in control of his emotions, and it was detracting from his ability to function at work to the level that he knew he was capable of, and it was slowly destroying his family life too. Luke then decided to change the narrative of his life. He stepped away from his high-paying role, something he'd worked incredibly hard for and desperately wanted to make work, to refocus his mind, reevaluate what was important, and create beliefs and habits that would carry him forward in life and to his legacy. Stepping away allowed him the opportunity to work towards being the best father, husband and person he knew that he could be. It allowed Luke to find his purpose, which is to help as many people do the things that they want to do and live their best life and create a legacy of fulfillment. He's graduated from Jay Shetty Certification School, one of the first 20 graduates, and a few months later launched his own life coaching business. Luke's big vision is to impact a million lives by 2025 by his life impact coaching business and the dawn of legacy. Our beliefs create our thoughts. Our thoughts create our feelings. Our feelings create our behavior, and our behaviors create our results. If we handle our beliefs, then everything changes. A quote by Marie Forleo. Welcome to Radio Tony, Luke.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. It's incredible when you sit back and actually listen to all of that. So it's humbling to hear you say all those words, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on and have a conversation with you today. I'm really looking forward to it, and yeah, I love a good conversation. So let's go.
Excellent. Luke, I feel really privileged to have you on the show. I genuinely like the people that I interview, and it makes interviewing just the best fun. So today I actually wanted to start by talking about the dawn of legacy. And yes. Because one of my core strategies in doing what I do is, of course, to create a legacy and leave a legacy for my children and grandchildren. So I'm equally passionate in talking about it. So the reason you chose to become a life coach was actually bigger than you, and it was about your wife and your son and others. So let's delve a little bit into the leaving a legacy and what that means to you.
Yeah, look, you kind of touched on it at the start.
Yes.
I was doing this, really big, corporate roles, and I've been doing those for a long period of time, and then, went through a time of kind of angst and, some anxiety, and was really unaligned with, something in me at that point in time. I hadn't really done too much of the work to understand, but, the more I really looked into it and the more I spoke to my wife, started to understand, well, what am I creating? What am I doing? So I started to have this whole thought of like this story that I was doing, the legacy I was creating, I was not going to be satisfied with. I was not happy with. It was not something I thought, many, many years down the track, I could sit there with my little boy and say, look, this is what I've created. This is what I've done, and offer him any kind of opinion on what an amazing, wonderful life really could be, because I wasn't living up to that myself. I'd earned a lot of money, great, but I was missing the mark on so many other things. So that really gave me the opportunity to say, well, I wanted to kind of nearly start afresh. It's not to say I wanted to ignore everything that had happened, but it was about, okay, how do I write the new chapters going forward, and how do I create that new legacy? Because I think legacy is, it's not just what you leave behind. It's everything you do. It's how you live, love, how you talk to people. It's, the fingerprints you leave on the world, and it's what people say about you, further down the track. So there was a lot to it to get to that point.
Yeah, Luke, when I was looking into the definition of legacy, the dictionary, interestingly, defines it as a gift of property, money, or a bequest, anything that is handed down from the past one to another.
Yeah.
But I believe from our perspective, yours and mine, that legacy can be much greater than that. It can be a belief system, a value system that we create and then pass on to future generations, not just family generations, but others that you've perhaps helped along the way. So, Luke, I understand you created Dawn of Legacy. Can you tell our listeners what that's about?
Yeah, so Dawn of Legacy, there's a bit of a story to it. So when I talk about Dawn of Legacy and where that fits into kind of my universe that I'm kind of creating, that's all around my coaching side of things, how I help people with a one-on-one kind of capacity, or even, businesses, and how I help individuals within that business. But, where did the name come from? And the name came to me at about 6 a.m. One morning. I was in the garage doing my workout routine, which is what I do in my very humble garage. And I've got, butcher's paper everywhere, and it's what I kind of do for getting thoughts out of my mind out in front of me. And I was trying to search and find some meaning and something that really mattered to me. And the legacy piece, which is kind of what we're talking about now, was something that really resonated. Yes. And what you mentioned before is so true. And I think where we go wrong, or where we've gone wrong in the past, is we look at legacy and say legacy is about what we give someone in a physical sense. And it's not what we give someone, they can hold on to. It's all of these other things. So legacy was paying a massive part in what was going on in my mind. Then Dawn, Dawn was about that, often fresh hope for people. It's absolutely about a new beginning. Watching a sunrise has got this kind of magical, for when you actually get around to seeing a sunrise, this magical kind of quality. It does amazing things to the brain. We know that. Mm-hmm. And Dawn was also my mother's middle name. She passed away 6 or 5 years ago this year. And it just, it all came to me in kind of one moment around this nod to mum, the opportunity for new beginnings and something very, very special, and starting from there. And absolutely was legacy, because that was the driving force behind everything I was doing to create a legacy to be really proud of for my, my little boy and my wife and other people around me as well. So it just kind of formed that very early one morning. kind of what happened.
Yeah. Luke, I so often talk to and it seems it's not predominantly male, but I talk to a lot of men about that point in their life when great success is no longer a driving force for them. And they've had incredible, great success, international success. They've got the money, the cars, the physical trappings of what we think of as success. But it's not enough. There's something else that drives them to make a change, and I hear it so often. And for you, can we just quickly talk about some of those initial pointers that had you starting to look at your life that had all the appearance of success and the trappings of success? What was missing? What woke you up?
Yeah, you know, you're hitting the nail on the head with what a lot of people, and certainly a lot of, you know, men go through. They spend a lot of the early parts of life often trying to find their place in the world. And, you know, usually we're told that our place in the world is about creating something, and usually it's attached to possession or wealth. Often that's about providing a place for, you know, family, you know, partner, you know, whatever that might look like, as well as, you know, kids or offspring. So that's usually what happens at the start. And then kind of what happens is, well, for me, to answer your question, is I really started to look at it and say, well, is this really what it's all about? Like, I went into a new job after leaving Melbourne United. I was in Melbourne United and had, you know, a massive amount of purpose working in the sport. It was bringing the sport back at that time. It had suffered for many years. So it was about reinvigorating the sport, you know, winning a championship. And I loved looking around the stadium and seeing the mums and dads and the kids, you know, enjoying their day. And so that was a big purpose. So I left there, went somewhere else, and I went somewhere else because it was a big job and it was a good amount of money, and I thought this was going to be a good place to be. But, you know, it wasn't. You know, I wasn't doing the things that I was, you know, passionate about, which was fundamentally helping people. I really started to look at this piece around, you know, how can I create this world and make it into a better place for my boy? Like, that really started to get into my mind. And I was having all these things that, you know, life isn't about, you know, a possession. A life isn't, you know, just about, you know, building a new house or buying another house. I wanted to do all of these other things, and I had these other ambitions. So I really needed to start to say, well, now how am I going to do that? And what is next? And it kind of flowed from there. But it's not an uncommon thing for people to go through. You know, we get to a point where we start to really reevaluate and reflect about what's going on, and then we go, well, let's make some changes. But, you know, some people don't. They don't take the opportunity to make that change, and that leads to bad things further down the track. Or I often find is that if people don't take the opportunity to learn and grow and let go of some of those things that they should, then chances are that gets handed on to someone else, you know, in your family or your child or, you know, someone close to you. And that's the real danger if people don't face up to the things that ail them, that sits internally, that, you know, people just ignore.
Yeah. Luke, do you think that we should be having more of these type of conversations with our young men in particular, so that they begin to understand that life is not about that success or the trappings of success, and that there is more to defining a man than those being in a great paying job and having those trappings of success? Do you think we talk enough about that to young men?
No, we don't. You know, we look at, you know, statistics, whether or not it's, you know, here in Australia or across the globe, when we talk about, you know, mental health or suicide. Yes. You know, we know the challenges around, you know, domestic or partner violence and things that are going on there. And a lot of these things are sadly perpetrated by men for a number of different reasons, which, you know, we won't get into today. But where we need to go to is we do need to have more conversations, you know, men to men and mums to boys and, you know, all of these kinds of things, to say, well, you know, it's not just what life is about. You know, I'm not sitting here saying that I'm a great sage and know what life is about. You know, my vision of what my life is going to be is probably going to be very different to what my sons will be, and other people that I work with, you know, their vision is really different as well. Maybe not fundamentally, but, you know, on that journey. But, you know, part of that conversation is to say that the world does no benefit or has no benefit from a boy growing into a man that can't share his thoughts, feelings, emotions, and can't embrace the situation and have empathy and educate and love and give and be kind. Like, the world is not a better place if men cannot enter into that realm. Like, that's not what we need. We don't need you know, men to be stuck in the 1900s thinking that, you know, all they need to do is provide a roof. And it's not an easy conversation to have, because, you know, where do you start? And people still need to listen, right? Like, you can't just talk to people. People need to want to engage with it and be present in that moment to have the conversation. And that's part of the big challenge. You know, we look at what happens in society at the moment. We have one corner over here and one corner over there, and it's a shouting match into the middle. And again, like, that's not helping the situation. So, you know, you're right with exactly what you said. There is the opportunity for us to continue talking and bringing that conversation to the table and say, well, how do we make it better? And what can life be about? Not to say that this is what life should be. It is to pose the question about what can it be about? Like, what is the amazing thing that you can create by opening your mind up to these other possibilities? And, you know, a lot of men, to maybe, you know, close on the question that you've pondered there or posed, is that a lot of men get caught up with, like, the ego. And, you know, we hear a lot of these things and some people say, well, you know, don't have the ego. Like, we need a portion of the ego, but it needs to have that.
But it's a protection.
Yeah, well, it needs to have that empathy, understanding, education, and the opportunity to embrace. So these are the conversations that we need to have in order to move us past where we've traditionally been, which has maybe not served us as good as it could be.
I believe too, Luke, that we need to embrace qualities as human qualities versus masculine and feminine, so that our young men understand that being a good human, you do have empathy, you do have sympathy, you do have gentleness. That's part of being a good human. It's neither masculine nor feminine. And I'm pretty passionate about not labeling those things and allowing our young men to embrace those elements that make them a good human versus masculine or feminine. I know, Luke, that part of your legacy is about having those wonderful conversations. And why do you think that it's so important for people to think about what their legacy might look like?
Yeah, well, look, legacy, you know, it's not the very end. And often I think when we talk about legacy, and, you know, you touched on before, it's kind of the very, very end of the story, or you kind of get it to the point where there's maybe not a lot left and you haven't really pondered on it. But when I talk about legacy and that holistic piece, it is like the values you have, the beliefs, how you interact with people, how you talk, all these kinds of things. So the sooner you start to say, well, what is the whole story I want to create? Then you can start to go, well, what are some of the changes that I do need to embrace right now? What are the conversations and understanding I need to have with myself internally to do this? So the sooner we go and have the understanding of this is where I'm going, this is what I'm looking to do, then you can start to go, wow, right, I better get myself in, you know, in gear. I better get things in order to head down that path, because I'm not going to get there if I keep doing the things that I'm doing. And that's kind of what happens to so, so many people. You know, you wake up one day, it's 15 years down the track from where you last were, and you're like, you know, how did I get here? And I'm not happy with this. Yeah. And so the sooner you start talking about it and going, well, where am I heading? What do I really want to do? What matters most? Then you can actually start to make the changes then and there. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's the opportunity.
And having a think about that concept of legacy actually leads you into a whole different way of thinking about life and fulfillment and happiness. Do you find that once people start actually, you know, the term legacy is kind of bandied around a bit, but for people to actually embrace the contact, you actually have to sit with it and think about it and think about how you want to leave your life or your mark on the world, isn't it, Luke? Mm. It's a whole concept that encourages a whole different way of thinking about life. I know that it was that for me. Has it been that for you, that whole idea that now I have a bigger purpose, a bigger idea about what life should be and what I want to leave behind me? Is that sort of the conversation that started to happen with you, Luke?
Yeah, look, it was. If you I talk to clients and there's, and it's not uncommon for coaches to say, let's start with a wheel of life exercise. There's finance and family and friends, relationships, love, personal growth, contribution to society, all these kinds of things. And you look at it and if I looked at my wheel of life, I go, well, career is, fantastic. That's flying along. And finance, that's doing really, really well. And relationship starts to get wonky and contribution to society, not so much, even though I'd done, charity work and was passionate about the environment and all these kinds of things. But I really wasn't looking at that kind of, as you're talking about, that big picture. No, I wasn't looking at all of these different areas and saying, well, I'm not satisfied with that at the moment. This is in a really, not a good spot at all. How do I actually get it to where I want to get to, and what does that actually look like as well? Because it's all good and well to say, hey, I want to improve a particular area of your life. But then that's the hard work to go, well, what is the nitty gritty of it? How do I need to change my kind of habits and my day in and day out to get to that, way of living? I wouldn't say destination, because then that gets in the whole piece around goals, which is a bit of a tenuous slope sometimes. But it's, how do I live that way of life, which is going to get me, heading in the right direction on these particular areas? So certainly I did a lot of, reflection and soul searching, and am I happy with this and what changes do I make? And I was very, very fortunate that my wife was really supportive and was happy to have these conversations. Yes. And it was a bit of a mess at one stage or another. And just because I was trying to figure it out, I had so many things going on in my mind and not a lot of it was aligned. I knew that I wanted to make change. I knew that I wanted to make a difference. I knew I wanted to be the best dad, husband, best person I could be. And I knew I wanted to create things for my little boy that, when I'm, whatever, I go, well, a lot of this was being driven by you when you were 6 months old and me going, well, I need to change.
Yeah. And that was sort of the catalyst for you realizing that you couldn't achieve those things whilst in those high-level corporate roles. You had to do something else. Was that kind of the flow of your thinking, Luke?
Well, it was kind of all connected. The corporate role that I was in, it was a good organization for many people. It was not an organization for me. There was a lot of things that I'd enjoyed in other organizations and places that I just was not getting there. Again, where it was fine for others, just not me. So there was this piece around, okay, this is not me forever, so I need to step away from that. And then it was, okay, well, what does next look like? Right, okay, well.
Yes.
The exploration around, the family and then the life and everything else. So it was all really, interwoven into each other. There was realizations on what I absolutely knew that it was not going to be. I think it kind of started there with more than anything else. I was having this, you talk about understanding or changing behavior and, there's tiny habits and then there's around redesigning the environment. There's having, really big epiphanies. And for me, I had this massive epiphany that I knew this was not for me any longer. All right, well, let's actually figure out what comes next and went from there.
Yeah. So there were lots of lessons that you learned along the way, and I just wanted to go into the idea around happiness and gratitude. So in researching this, the term happiness is used in the context of mental and emotional states, including positive, pleasant emotions ranging from contentment to intense joy. It's also used in terms of life. description as, you know, satisfaction and well-being and flourishing, whereas gratitude is a quality of being thankful and a readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. And there's a whole swathe of science behind gratitude and happiness and why they are so good for us as humans. But I found myself that I had to learn about gratitude and really understand what it meant and how to make it work within my own life. And I also discovered that sometimes happiness is a choice that we make. And by focusing on the positive. So I just want to mention here that Cleo is also listening online, and he will have links to Luke's resources around happiness and gratitude and my links to a gratitude challenge. But I want to hear from Luke today about what it means, what the difference between happiness and gratitude mean for you, Luke.
Wow, there is so much. There's so much in that. Thank you so much for kind of asking that. You know, there is, you know, you could talk about this for days and days. You know, I'll start with one of the areas I slipped up in. You know, was I did not have a lot of gratitude, you know, for the amazing things that were going on in my life, whether or not that was the jobs I was in, or, you know, even, you know, my beautiful wife and my beautiful boy. Like, I just didn't have, it was kind of like, well, this is just part of it. Like, and that's not part of it. Like, you need to have gratitude for these amazing things. It isn't a given that these things experience. So that was something that I discovered that I needed to be really mindful of, was that gratitude piece. And, you know, going back to your question around happiness and gratitude, and I'll also bring in another word here, which is fulfillment, and I'll get to that in a moment.
Yes. But,
you know, happiness, I often talk to people about and say that happiness can be that, you know, thin veneer of joy that sits over a situation that we have, and it's easily broken, cracked, or smudged, depending on, you know, where our mood takes us and the things that are sitting around us. So, you know, and you were talking about some of the research and the science behind it. Absolutely. You know, we know that our mind really wants to do as many things as it can on autopilot. We know that our mind really doesn't distinguish the difference between happiness for right or wrong. So you can still have a level of happiness and, you know, all of the chemicals that get released in your body by doing the incorrect things, because, you know, that's just the way you're geared at that point in time. So happiness is really important. There's no doubt about that. We do have a challenge with happiness right now. You know, people derive their happiness from, you know, real material things, and none of this is particularly new. And, you know, social media plays a big part in it, and again, how we're all geared into that.
But,
you know, happiness is great. I don't think it's a long-lasting mindset to be in, and I think it is a slippery slope. Now, when we talk about, you know, gratitude or grace, you know, that is about, you know, gratitude being thankful for that point in time, and grace is about, you know, the experiencing of something wonderful no matter what the situation you're in. And I think back to a time where, you know, I was struggling with some of these kind of questions and thoughts and concerns and everything that was going on. And I'd listened to a podcast, I can't recall who it was at this point in time, but they were talking about grace in the moment, and I was standing out in the backyard of my house, and there's all these big trees blowing in the background. I just had this moment of grace, of just the wind and the trees and those kind of sounds, even though I was going through a lot of internal kind of, you know, questions and challenges. But that was about grace in the moment. So how do you find, you know, grace in the moment? And the last one that I mentioned there was fulfillment. And now if I'm talking to anybody, you know, in regards to happiness or fulfillment, I'm like, if you have the opportunity to go down the path or the rabbit warren to do with fulfillment, then that is absolutely the place that you should try and play in. And how do you get fulfillment is, you know, one of those questions. And, you know, I'm sure there's all kinds of different theories out there, but I look at fulfillment and say, it's a deeper level than happiness. Fulfillment usually comes from doing things that don't just involve yourself. They often involve other people from around you.
Mm-hmm.
They come from a place of challenge. They come from a place of change. So it is about forging that new opportunity in front of you. That's where that kind of fulfillment comes from. And, you know, it's about something new. It's about, you know, moving forward. So, you know, when you can bring all these things together, then you start to have these levels of fulfillment. And then, you know, that's this deeper kind of feeling, because it's not just attached to you in the moment saying, hey, I'm eating a box of chips, watching Netflix, which is great fun. It can be, yes, you know, happy to do that and bring a sense of joy. But it's not going all the way down into the deeper parts of, you know, whatever you'd like to talk about your body to feel, you know, amazing and your soul and all those kinds of things. So happiness is great.
Yeah.
Gratitude, find it as often as you can. Grace, if you can bring that into each moment. And you know, we've had so many challenges over the last year, you know, across the globe.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And so how do you find grace in the moment with all of these things going on? And, you know, you hear of people that might be driving a fancy car and earning a lot of money that don't have, you know, these levels of satisfaction versus the people that have nothing, that find, yeah, the grace in the moment. So look for that and then go deeper with fulfillment. Look for a challenge, you know, look for change, you know, forge something new, help those around you and see what that takes, you know, see where that takes you,
yes,
where that moves you forward. I think they're the things that we should be searching for, and certainly the conversations, you know, you mentioned at the very, very start when we talk to young boys or young girls or young people, look,
yes,
for these things,
yeah,
in your,
yeah,
life. Yeah, and then that's what it is. Like, that's the way that you live a beautiful, giving, you know, loving life that takes you on, you know, a fantastic journey. Mm-hmm. If there's a door there, walk through it with grace and see how you can add into that moment and share knowledge and educate and find joy and fulfillment. Like, that's what we should be trying to do.
Yes. Yeah. In terms of gratitude, sometimes the learning of gratitude can be just very simple moments. I know, yeah, for me, when I discovered that gratitude wasn't a huge, big thing, that it was in the simple things that you can feel the most gratitude. And for me, driving towards my home, there's a certain point on the road that I get to, and every time I drive to that point and am passing through it, my body is filled with gratitude for, yeah, so many things. For the road that I'm on that is so pretty to drive, to the fact that I'm arriving home safely, to the fact that I'm driving to this beautiful place that we live in, to the fact that in a moment I'm going to look out across the paddock and see my llamas and goats who bring me immense joy. So gratitude does not have to be hard. However, if you've never practiced gratitude, it can be tricky to, yes, get in touch with graceful gratitude and optimistic happiness and attitude. Luke, why do you think people struggle so much with these concepts in life in general?
Well,
is it that we're not taught about them?
Yeah, I think there's two things from the, you know, studies that I read and, you know, the amazing minds that I try to learn from, is that one, we're not geared, you know, to be necessarily feeling all these wonderful things. So our mind is naturally geared to, yes, keep us safe. And, you know, going back to those times many years ago, which I won't bore your listeners on because I'm sure they're across that, but our mind is geared.
But I don't think that we remind people that our minds are prehistorically geared to protect us.
Yes.
And we don't need that protection now. So we,
yeah,
can actually,
yeah,
embrace and revel, yeah, in the goodness of living in these centuries.
Yeah, well, I will kind of go on to that for a moment then, but you're right.
Yes, like
our, you know, our brain that's geared for means of years ago, that it was about, you know, going off and finding food or shelter, or about protecting us from another tribe, or, you know, those kinds of things, because it was, yeah, life and death. And although civilization, yeah, has absolutely progressed very, very quickly over these last, you know, short period of time, our mind has not necessarily caught up and changed. So we are geared to try and, yeah, find the danger within a situation. So that's kind of the, mm-hmm, first challenge that we have, is that we have that negative concept, which is part of the reason why, you know, negative media and all these kinds of things really works well when you talk,
yes,
about clickbait, because our mind kind of attaches to it.
Attaches
and the
to
other
the
part
negative.
Attaches to the negative. And the other part, you hit the nail on the head. Like, we don't talk about it. And if we don't talk about it, then we don't have awareness on it. If we don't have awareness on it, then we can't really do anything about it. And that's the challenge that we have, is because we're not talking about the fact that we live in a world, you know, we certainly have a lot of challenges for, you know, millions and millions of people, you know, living in poverty and, you know, terrible stories, and not to belittle any of that. Like, I understand the challenges there, but we are absolutely living in a world that it's a prosperous world. There's a lot of opportunity to do amazing things. One of the challenges we have is we've probably got too many things at our disposal to say, you know, I want this and I want that and I need to buy this, and if I buy that, it'll make me happier. So, like, we've got all these challenges, you know, pit against us at the moment that are really taking the distraction, or giving us a distraction and taking the focus off our chance to really focus on what matters the most. So couple that with a really old, you know, wired brain that goes with the negative, couple that with them, we're bombarded by all of these things that don't give us the opportunity to find joy and happiness. And then as a society, you know, we don't talk about it often enough because we get wrapped up into these other things. You know, podcasts such as yours are a great platform where people can get on and have these beautiful conversations about what could be if you lived your life in these particular ways. But it's certainly not a common conversation for people to be having around the dinner table to say, well, you know, did you find moments of grace? You know, how can we bring more fulfillment in life? Like, that's not really what it's been traditionally. But, you know, I think there's a shift. I think there's a shift there, right? You know, more people more people now are understanding in regards to, you know, what the phone can actually do to us and how it can impact us. Mm-hmm. I think people are more understanding that, you know, that real, you know, consumer kind of life that's driven us for, you know, the last, you know, 50, 60, 70 years or so is maybe not really what it's all about. So I think there's more lights in the mind coming on, and then it's just up to people to keep talking about it. And then it's a decision, you know. It's, again, I'm not saying that this is the way that people should be living, but it's about exploring that and saying, if I went down this path, then where does that take me? And that's kind of what it's all about.
Yeah. Luke, I wanted to quickly delve into what beliefs are an acceptance of something that exists and is true, especially one without proof. And if 2020 was ever a year to test people's beliefs in what is true and what is not true, I think it's an important component of our conversation today, Luke. So let's talk about beliefs and what beliefs do to us and for us.
Yeah, look, it's a big part of what I talk to people about, beliefs. And beliefs are something that's in our mind that is usually made up of what you've said from the past, okay? So there's this narrative, this story, this understanding of things that have happened possibly to you, or you feel that they have happened to you. So they are not necessarily fact, but they then shape our, you know, feelings, emotions, and actions in the future. So beliefs can absolutely be, you know, really, really powerful for us.
Yeah.
The challenge is at the moment is, where do you find fact in this situation? So the fact of all the things going on around us, but it's also this ability to, where do you find the fact in the situation or the beliefs that you've got going on in your mind? And often when I talk to people or clients and they might be struggling with getting lost in their own mind and, you know, thinking all these things, I say to them, ask yourself, is this fact or is this fiction at this point in time? And then often it is actually fiction. And then it's, well, how do I gain better clarity in this moment at the question at hand before I go forward? So beliefs are absolutely powerful. They're a driving force in nearly everything we do.
Everything.
Because you're sitting here now and you go, okay, my belief dictates that I do this, or my belief says that I shouldn't do that, or often my belief is saying that that particular person thinks this of me. So like they're really, really, they can absolutely mess with what's going on in your mind. The danger of what happens after a belief is when people start to get a bias. And when I talk about a bias, this is related to, and you often see this in corporate worlds, and you know, you deal with a lot of businesses, and let's talk about the business person that has been very, very driven and arrogant per se over the journey. So their bias is that the arrogance is what I need to do in order to continue to be successful because people respond to it and they do what I tell them. So that then has gone past a belief. It's now a bias and it's actually a negative bias. And they're not really seeing, well, there's all these other reasons why people follow you. You're knowledgeable. You might be great in these other areas. So like that's the danger of when these beliefs, you know, get out of hand and they get into this area of bias, which can be a really, really, you know, horrible place to play in. And it's very common, very, very common.
It is very common, but I have to say, for anyone who wants a challenge, just sit down and start examining your beliefs one by one and unpack them and start challenging yourself on what you believe is true. Because if you want some amazing growth and if you want some nice challenging challenges around self-growth and education, start unpacking your beliefs. Start looking at them. Start trying to see other perspectives. It will change your life. And I know, Luke, you've seen this as in evidence through your life as a coach, that once people start unpacking those beliefs, that beliefs around that's too expensive, beliefs around we can't afford that, if you grab just two of those simple beliefs and start challenging them in a way that helps you grow and learn, it'll change your life.
Absolutely.
Won't it, Luke?
Absolutely. You know, there is all kinds of beliefs that we have that hang us up. You know, the belief that, you know, my life now is all it can be and I am not one of the lucky people that will do X, Y, and Z. You know, I believe that this person over there has got it in for me and they don't want the best for me in my career. Like there's all these other things. So, you know, then, you know, I don't want to get caught on the negative stuff. You know, there's a lot of powerful beliefs, right? If you look at yourself and say, I believe that, you know, I'm the winner and, you know, you believe that you're the person that always finds the way and you're a person that lives in, you know, abundance, then they're the things that'll happen for you. Now, this is not a piece about, you know, close your eyes, have affirmation and the universe will deliver. Like, that's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm saying that your beliefs, you know, and going back to Marie Forleo, like your beliefs will shape all of these things leading to your actions and your actions then control your life. So if you get your beliefs in order, then they'll have this profound impact on all of these other things afterwards. And that's the importance of it. So it's really, absolutely, you know what you're saying, sit down and understand it. Like that's the place to start.
Yeah. And it can be scary, can't it, Luke? Which is why I've talked to many, many people and people who are regular listeners of Radio Tony know how passionate I am about having mentors, coaches, and people to help you, because sometimes you cannot do this stuff by yourself. And Luke is a life impact coach, and so I know that he has that capacity to help you with some of these unpacking of difficult things or examining things in your life or thinking about legacy. People like Luke, that is their passion. And they can help you get to that place that you desire. Luke, I want to know, you've got some powerful tips to ensure that 2021 is a remarkable year. What are those for our listeners today?
Yeah, right. So I think the first place is start with understanding and awareness. I reckon if you're sitting there now listening and you're going, hey, you know, there's something not right, get out of your seat. I think everything is around moving, you know, moving forward in a situation. So that whole, you know, motion creates your emotion piece. You know, I think that's really powerful. So get out of your seat. go get yourself a diary or some kind of journal. And I do this with all my clients. Everybody gets a journal. And then the part to start with is getting understanding and awareness, understanding of where you are right now. So, you know, to answer your question, what should people do? Start with getting awareness and understanding on where you are, what is driving your life right now, and where you would like to get to. Get a handle on your beliefs and the values and the things that matter most to you. Then do an exercise that I call thrive, survive, and crash dive. Over the course of a week or two, look at the things in your life.
That's great.
Say that again. Over the course of the next 2 weeks, everybody look at the things that make them thrive, survive, and crash dive in their life, okay? So thriving, things that make you feel amazing, you know, full of energy, like, you know, take on the world. Survive, they are a part of your life and they exist there and you cannot do anything about it. You just need to have them there. The other part is crash dive. What are the things that exist in your life that take your energy away, make you feel bad, and take the time away from these kind of, you know, thriving moments? So, you know, this is all about that realization that I was making mention at the start. Once you go, right, I've got a really good handle on all of my values, beliefs, et cetera, that I mentioned before. I've done this thrive, survive, crash, dive exercise, great. Then it's starting to figure out and go, well, you know, what is next? What am I trying to create? What are these powerful reasons why? Now, you know, I'm a big one for goals and, you know, I tell people all the times about creating SMART goals, so specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time-bound. We've all heard them. But get your beliefs in order, get your values in order, and understand your bigger reason why this is all happening for you. This is not about creating a mission statement, but get a really good handle on all of these reasons why and then let that take you forward. And then over time, then you can start to develop some of these goals and stuff like that. I think why people fall over and they don't get where they want to is because they just go straight into goal mode, because we all hear about these things, right? We all hear about New Year's resolutions. We all hear a lot of self-help stuff, you know, create goals and all that. Like, I create goals with my clients, but there's all this work to do at the start around realization, understanding, and then figuring out, like, what is all this about? Why does it matter to me? And then you move forward. So there's so much more, but I think that's a really good place for everybody to start.
Fantastic, Luke. I know that you've got a special offer for Radio Tony listeners today, and I want to make sure that we get to that before we get too close to the end. So can you tell everyone about your special offer? For those of you listening live online, Payo has the links and they'll be popped into the live chat. You will also be able to find them on RadioTony.com under my interviews, and they are also on LukeFenwick.com. But I'm going to get Luke to tell you about his special offer for you today.
Yeah, for everybody listening there today, they can get 15% off my 110-day program, which is my bigger program. It's absolutely my most popular program as well. So over 110 days, you know, you start with a two-hour session with me doing a full life audit and getting into some of the things we've spoken about before. And then there's another 10 hours of one-on-one sessions. I send people all kinds of content to listen to, you know, book suggestions, podcasts, you know, my thoughts, you know, feedback, summary sessions after every one of our catch-ups. I've had people I've worked with in Scotland and, you know, the UK and Germany. So anywhere in the world is fine. But, you know, your listeners all get 15% off that program. Just head over to the website. They can book an exploratory call with me for free to start with if they're sitting there listening today going, who is this guy and can I trust him? But, if someone sit there and they're just wanting to have a bit of a chat first and understand what it's all about and some of my, you know, some of the reasons on how I can help people too, because it's a really personal thing for someone to find a life coach, you know, to work with. It's I'm not for everybody, I'm sure, as you know, that's what life is all about. So if people just want to talk to me and figure out a little bit more before making that plunge and heading forward, then then, you know, I'd love to do that. But as you said, you know, my vision is to help 1 million people by 2025. And, you know, I'm here to help, and nothing, you know, gives me more satisfaction than seeing the progress as people really unpack and unfold what's going on in their life, and then have those light bulb moments or those breakthrough moments where they're like, right, okay, this makes sense. This is what I need to do. Like, and they're discovering those things themselves along the way. I'm not saying you should do this.
Yes.
This is all about them discovering and creating it.
Luke, what can people expect from a 110-day program in
yes.
terms of turning their life around? What have some of the, tell us about some of the results for your clients in those 110-day programs.
Yeah. So I'm not a life coach that will talk to someone about, you know, a lot of spiritual things. Certainly it can be an element of it, but my style of coaching is about creating impact in someone's life. So absolutely, you'll have a better understanding of where you are now. You'll have a really good handle on, you know, values and beliefs and whatnot. You'll have a really good understanding on why things happen to you. And what I mean by that, for example, in a work capacity, a certain person in a work capacity makes me feel this particular way, which then results in something else. So you'll have that understanding, because we get into some kind of, you know, psychology and stuff. I'm not a psychologist, I'm putting that out there, but we get into trying to understand why those things happen. So all of my clients will have that great grounding, but then they'll also go through all of these particular exercises that, you know, I work on, you know, some things like this thrive, survive, crash, dive stuff. I'll talk to them about, you know, behavior design, how to create tiny habits, you know, how they structure what their life looks like from, you know, a really powerful start of the day. What does your morning routine look like? You know, what does a nighttime routine look like? Talk to them about the power of journaling and what that can do about, you know, bringing to the surface of what's happening in their mind. So to answer your question, you know, at the end of the day, my goal for people is they get to the end of the 110 days and they've got the knowledge and the ability to be able to just keep going with all the things that we've spoken about. My goal is not to say, here's 110 days and I want to keep seeing you. Like, some clients still see me each month, you know, ongoing, but everybody's got the tools and the strategy for them to be able to do these things ongoing. So if times do get tough, right? Because times get tough. So this is not about saying it's this linear thing. This is about saying, how do we make sure we don't go down to the depth where we have in the past? Like, how do we kind of short circuit that? So they're the things that I tried to teach to my clients, is here's all the theories that I've got. Here's this wonderful realization process that you go through to understand what matters most, where you want to get to, you know, some of the values you want to generate. And then, you know, here's this structure and strategy to create these tiny habits, which will take you forward, because that's when you start to, you know, bring in the mind, you know, releasing all of these wonderful chemicals, because you're having this successful pathway forward. So there's a lot. There's like 13 hours worth of contact over those, you know, 110 days, you know, face-to-face, or, you know, most clients are doing it over Zoom at the moment.
Oh, gotta love Zoom. So as we've probably could agree that 2020 was an incredibly tough year for so many people. And I'm not just talking about in terms of the COVID, I'm talking about things from political unrest to the numbers of people that I know and am close to have had a whole series of tragedy and horribleness all happen in 2020. So from my perspective, if you wanting to make sure that you're a bit resilient and a bit more understanding of how to get through life and cope a little bit better, I can't recommend having a coach or a mentor highly enough. I've always got some sort of coach or mentor helping me, because they keep me accountable for those very things that I've learned: gratitude, happiness, fulfillment, beliefs, and the things that keep me on a path that will one day create the sort of legacy that I want to leave for my family. And in talking about legacy, again, Luke's the person who can help you understand what that means and what that might mean in your life. And so, my wonderful listeners, that brings us to the end of the program. Luke, I'm really appreciative and grateful that I get to talk to amazing human beings every week, one of which is undoubtedly you. Thank you so much for sharing so openly and vulnerability with our listeners today. And just quickly, listeners, if you're listening live, you'll have the links within your chat. If you've missed those, jump on to lukefenwick.com or radiotony.com, or you'll find links to all of the information you've heard today, and 15% off for all Radio Tony listeners to Luke's programs. Thank you so much, Luke Fenwick. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful conversation and, yeah, really enjoyed it. But look after yourself and, yeah, hopefully our paths will cross again one day very, very soon.
I'm
but, yeah,
sure
thank you.
They will. My pleasure. Now that, my listeners, is our lot for this week. I'm going to hand you right back over to TJ, and we will see you next week on Radio Tony, Everyday Business with Tony Lontis Live. Thanks, Luke, and bye for now.
Bye.